Welcome to Digital Garden State, a podcast by the New Jersey Health Information Management Systems Society.
Welcome to the New Jersey Health Information Management Systems Society podcast series, where we discuss emerging trends in healthcare technology and their impact on our industry. New Jersey HIMSS is a consortium of healthcare professionals, providers, and vendors who are committed to promoting constant improvement in the use of information technology within the healthcare industry. I am your host, Mike Fortino, current New Jersey HIMSS board member and account executive with Galaxy Solutions. Before we get started, I just want to emphasize that our chapter is supported by some amazing companies, and without their sponsorship, we could not deliver on our mission of healthcare technology advocacy and learning. Today's podcast episode is a continuation of our customer story series where we highlight one of our great sponsors. And today's sponsor is Caregility, an award-winning organization that provides telehealth solutions that span the continuum of care from emergent and critical care to subacute settings, including the patient's own home. And our guest today is Mike Brandofino, President and Chief Operating Officer. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Appreciate being here.
Looking forward to our conversation. I really am looking forward to the conversation today and understanding your thoughts and experience on the evolving role of AI in the field of telehealth. If you don't mind, let's start off with a brief overview of Caregility, a bit of history, if that's okay with you, your journey, and then jump into our discussion on AI.
Sure. Thank you. So Caregility was actually created in September of 2019. Right before the pandemic. So either dumb luck or brilliant management to create a virtual care company over right before the pandemic.
Well, let's just say it was brilliant.
But we were really focused on the inpatient side. We started out providing solutions with one of our partners, Philips, around being able to communicate into an ICU from a core of doctors and nurses. Our approach is a little bit different. We really care more about the inpatient setting for virtual care. Not that we don't care about the outpatient, but you know, we really focus on the inpatient side. And since then, we've actually come out of the ICU room, and we have a platform that allows health systems to create virtual care programs throughout the health system. So whether it's a telestroke in the ED, or it's rounding or observation in the rooms, we actually provide a platform that they can use across multiple programs.
Wow. I mean, that offers them quite the flexibility in and around how to react to, you know, current day challenges, right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, you know, everybody focused on that, you know, meeting, you know, the meeting with the doctor in the home during COVID. And that's kind of went up and it came back down. But what's happened in the health system is it's been a continuous rise because they have such challenges around staffing that they really have to figure out ways to deal with it. And virtual care is a way to do that.
Gotcha. Touching on that, I mean, you also have AI enhanced services in and around that platform, correct?
Yeah. So AI has been around healthcare for quite a while. The radiology use of AI, I think, is well known and pretty well established. And there's some other areas where decision support is really has been well established. But what we're seeing now is a real influx of companies that have AI technology that are trying to address really two components of the hospital, the operational side and the patient clinical side. So I'm going to take a step back and say one of the challenges in the space is I feel like AI is a hammer looking for a nail. You know, they are hundreds of companies coming out of the woodwork, and you know, they used to check for parking cars in the parking lot with their spaces available, and now they're doing clinical care. Reality is there's not a lot of good workflows yet around it, but there are some good foundations that are being built in, and that's exactly what we decided to do, is really focus on what are things that we know are challenges our customers are facing, what can we then apply AI to, as opposed to the other way around, and so there's things like augmented observation. Observation is something that hospitals do to watch patients if they're at risk of falling out of their bed or pulling their IV out. And so if you have a sitter, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning watching 12 patients And we have night vision, so it's kind of dark. If we could let that sitter know that, you know, the patient in room 150 is starting to move and just draw their attention, right? So we call that kind of augmented observation. It's not predictive yet, because anyone who says it is predictive about that movement means the patient's falling out of the bed, but at least it gives, you know, the observer some extra information. And now that,
I mean, that sounds like a practical use of the technology, right? It's meaningful.
We call that computer vision. Now, what next can we do with that? Well, we might be able to then say how many people are in the room, or how many times a nurse came in, or a clinical staff member came in that day. Did the patient get turned? Is the bed at the right angle? So now that we've embedded computer vision in our platform, now it's time to sit down with our customers and say, okay, now what? What can we do? You know, another trending one is vital trendings. So one of the things that is painful for customer for health systems is, you know, how to know you know, whether the patient is, you know, trending up or down in a non-acute setting. So in an ICU, you got all these devices connected to the patient. In the non-acute rooms, you really don't have that machinery. So we actually just launched something with a radar device that looks like a fire detector, and it could do trending on heart rate, breathing rate, and some motion in the room. Why is that important? Well, if you're watching a patient and their heart rate changes drastically, that could be an indication. So the AI part of that is, as it trends, the AI is predicting whether a significant change in that heart rate is something that should be alarming. And then we could send a notification to the nurse's station and say, maybe you should just go in and take a look at that patient. And then that's going to really lead into other things. If you, that same thing could be used. We had a situation, a customer was telling us about a challenge where a patient died in the hallway. In an AD. It was so crowded, they put the bed in the hallway and no one checked on them. If we could put this radar device clipped to the edge of the bed and that person's heart rate starts changing, we can notify or send an alarm, right? So again, great use of technology that, you know, can address a challenge in customers. So there's so many things that customers are facing, and understanding those challenges and then trying to apply technology is really the direction we're taking.
Do you find that, you know, once one of your clients, right, one of your customers, which whatever setting it may be in, I mean, I can only imagine that there's one more challenge to solve, right? So many use cases, it's never ending, right?
Right.
And to that, you know, all of a sudden, how are you managing all of that, right? How is it that you're, you know, not trying to maintain, what I'm trying to say is, how do you maintain focus around what's important, right?
Yeah. So I will tell you, as a growing company, last year in 2022, sorry, we were saying yes too much. Right. We got ourselves into a little bit of a backlog of feature requests and things. And so what we've done really is we've created special interest groups. So we have multiple modules. So we have modules for ad hoc calling. We have modules for remote calling. We have modules for observation. And so what we've done is we've taken our these special interest groups and really focused our roadmap around input directly from customers and our clinical staff. And then really trying to prioritize around, you know, what are the biggest pain points that health systems have? And so even with AI, there's so much clamoring out there. I was at a conference, a CNO conference last week. Mm-hmm. And we had one CMIO stand up and say, I am not taking any more meetings from AI companies, you know, because it's just too many. And it's like they're overwhelmed and underwhelmed, right? They're overwhelmed by the amount of companies and underwhelmed by the performance. And so what we're trying to bring customers back into is, let's not get distracted on all of that noise. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on your key challenges. The key challenge that we've been focusing on is lack of nurses.
Okay.
Right. Nurse burnout. And really the patient experience as it relates to, that those two other things. So really that's really what we've been focused on. And it's been hard because it's, you see all these other companies coming up and they're shouting from the rooftops about things that they can do or their AI. But it's been encouraging in talking to our customers and getting them back in and focusing. Okay. You have a bunch of nurses that retired. If you do a telenursing program and have them be able to remotely do discharges, or they could back up and do training of younger nurses, you could bring them back into the workforce. And I have just that just happened recently with a customer in Florida. They started a telenursing program and two things happened. One, their patient satisfaction scores went through the roof. Why? The telenurse isn't as distracted. She's talking with the patient. Her name is up on the screen. She's creating a relationship with that patient. Second thing is they had a nurse that unfortunately had to be on oxygen and they were going to have her retire. But putting her into the telenursing program, she's able to continue to stay in.
Oh, wow.
So we're focusing on that. And how can AI help that? Well, if that telenurse can get that trending of heart rate and breathing rate, that's more information that she can get. As we add more computer vision, she can be able to get some information about trending of, well, how many times that patient get out of the bed that day or move, So the whole idea is to try to gather as much information from the room and give it to the virtual caregiver and really improve that patient experience.
Gotcha. You know, I have so many questions, but I want to try to stick to our topic in and around AI and enabling, your platform to then address some of those concerns, right? In and around what nurses have to deal with, talk a little bit about the partnerships that you have and some of the partners, not necessarily who they are, but how are you leveraging your partners in being able to, one, address the devices that you need to, that you're employing? And also, what's the AI behind some of that as
sure.
well?
So our approach from the very beginning, from day one, has been we cannot do everything ourselves. So we wanted to set out to create a platform and have intelligent devices at the edge. What that means is our devices aren't just a camera plugged into a USB port. They're purpose-built devices. They all have night vision. They all have really, really high-end audio. They have the ability for the clinicians to a lot of remote control. And the reason we did that is we expected there to need to be a lot of edge processing and stuff happening in the room as technology progressed. And then we also figured that we're going to need to pass information to and receive information from other technologies. And so we really built a robust amount of APIs. And so there's three ways that, you can get information from a room. You can see it. So we have really, really high-end cameras. You can hear it. We have really high-end microphones and speakers. And then you can ingest it from other technologies. So we're looking for partners who are able to receive that kind of data from the room, process it, and get it back. Ideally, we'd like it to be edge. A lot of it's still in the cloud yet. But the radar device, for example, that could get ingested into our device. And then from a cloud application perspective, we pull that data in and can display it on our screens. So it's really finding partners that have that capability. And it's once you have kind of that wall space, we start thinking about what else do we need to do or can we connect to in order to make that edge device valuable.
Right. What about from a cybersecurity perspective, when folks start to talk about, we're doing processing at the edge, right? And usually first concern question is, okay, what kind of security level are you guys at? What does that all mean to me? And, everyone's real sensitive around
that topic. Absolutely. So we historically haven't captured or kept patient data. So while we follow strict HIPAA compliance, and have. Right. We also look to things like ISO certifications around our entire processes, from the manufacturing build to, you know, how we operate our company. And now we are doing HL7 integration with some data and passing this data through. So, you know, we're following all of the HIPAA guidelines, and we have outside firms that actually audit us to make sure that that happens. And that's a challenge when you start adding partners, right? You have to make sure that they're doing the same thing. And,
yeah.
And you know, it is kind of surprising to me and a little concerning. We've spent a lot of money on that certification, those certifications, and making sure that, you know, mm-hmm. all partners have that. And it's amazing how many hospitals will just throw technology in with these startups that I know have not done that, right? And it seems like the shininess of the technology is making people make some risky decisions.
Yeah. I mean, even regardless of it does create an opportunity, right? For a bad actor to take some type of action.
Sure.
The more technology you put out there, how innocuous you may think it is, you know, there's always some level of risk associated with it.
Yeah.
And understanding the challenges behind, you know, going through the certifications, you know, being compliant, and maintaining, you know, that due diligence around that is that's an investment that takes
Absolutely.
Time. That is not something that, you know, I think most folks in healthcare technology today, they understand that, they appreciate that. But, you know, with the advances in AI, and as you said, all these companies that are out there that have just popped up all over the place, you know, because technically they're creating something really cool.
Right.
That's
right.
Great. But, you know, listen, let's get back to what it means to be secure and compliant.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And, I mean, to give you an idea, Caregility, we are the selected choice for tele-ICU in the DoD.
Oh,
so
wow.
If that tells you something about our security.
Yeah.
The other thing that is interesting, you asked me what technology, AI technologies, these folks use. You know, mm-hmm. and some of them have invented it. It's their own, right? So the one with mm-hmm. the radar device, that's a FDA certified on their own. The things like video analysis, they're all using the same engines. You know,
right.
and unfortunately, we're also starting to see people use ChatGPT.
Yep.
Okay, you're throwing stuff out there into the world. How is that being used, you know, and how are you protecting that data of the customer? So we're really cautious about that. And I think customers should be digging into what is the underlying engine, where is that going, and what is being used before they make decisions.
Mike, so many times I have conversations, I ask the question around, okay, so what, even basic stuff, what model are you using?
Right.
Right. Where did that model come from? You know, did it come from the academic world? Where did it come from?
Right.
You know,
is
how did you
vet
that? And I get blank stares and I'm like, okay. You know, and then even talking about some of the other AI, you know, disciplines that are out there too. And it's the same type of conversation, you know, and unfortunately, I you know, I'm limited in my knowledge and understanding of AI. It's still so broad and you can go so deep, but, you know, I get the concepts and it's, as you said, right, it's doing your due diligence and understanding what you got.
Right? Yep. You know, another thing, security is obviously one. Another thing that customers aren't realizing is the total cost of ownership of some of this. We have customers doing pilots with folks and do 30 or 60 rooms. And they're not, because a lot of that processing is done in the cloud. So, for example, there's a couple of players out there that do basically computer vision. But what's happening is they're sending that stream out to their cloud, processing it, or they're sending it to a server somewhere in the health system environment, processing it, and it's responding or capturing it, right? But what customers don't realize is that is hugely intensive CPU utilization.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do the math and scale between the bandwidth consumption and the CPU, your total cost of ownership, you're going to have banks and banks of servers in order to support this at scale. And and that's why, again, we're going to customers and saying, okay, it sounds great, but if you want to do this at 100 beds, 500 beds, 1,000 beds throughout your health system, the total cost on this is going to be huge. So is there really a value that you're getting? And do you understand the total cost of ownership of some of this technology?
Yeah. I think that is also, you know, I think most folks will, you know, think about that, you know, what's the path forward? And what's important is to understand not only their own, but their partner's roadmap, right?
Right.
Does it align? You know, are we continuing to be judicious with our investments? You know, are we, you know, getting out of the return on investment that we expect and that we hope for? Can you talk a little bit about your roadmap?
And, sure.
You know, where you guys are headed?
Yeah. So in addition to the computer vision and the trending, vital scanning is something that is coming, you know, very, very quickly. We're about to add that to our home outpatient environment because there's none of them are FDA certified yet, but this is really great technology where basically you look at the camera for 30 seconds, it scans your face and it gets some of your vital signs.
Great.
So our initial foray into this is, you know, if you're doing a visit with a patient in their home, you can't take their blood pressure. You have to trust that they're going to either they take it. So if you could take a quick scan and give you a little bit of a readout, you know, if it's crazy high, you're going to say, hey, please come into the clinic. I want to see you. You know, so some of that vital scanning, we call it contactless analysis. And then listening, augmented listening. You know, one of the things that has been around for a long time is transcription for doctors, well known with folks like Nuance. But what hasn't been done is nurse notes, and nurses spend a huge amount of their time, you know, typing into systems. And so we've been working with some technologies that don't just transcribe, because that's not easy, that's not hard. The AI part of it is taking the relevant parts of what they're talking about with the patient and putting it into a nurse notes format, and really filtering out some of that, just how are your kids, you know, how's your dog, and really format it properly and get it into a format where they can at least edit it and approve it and send it into the system. So because we have microphones in the room, obviously that's the next obvious place for us to be.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. You know, and it's just makes sense, right? You know, to me, you know, based on our conversation, based on what you've shared, it's, you know, you started off and you've narrowed it down to make sure that, you know, you're going to deliver value. You continue down that path. You're focused on, you know, the nursing.
Yeah.
It's, and as you said, right, there's a lack of, and they're burning out, right?
Yeah.
And addressing that is great. I mean, I think that's just terrific. We're kind of getting towards the end of our discussion here. One thing I have to apologize. I want to make sure that everyone knows the website. It's caregility.com, caregility.com. We invite all our listeners to check that out. I just wanted to make sure that we got that out there.
Appreciate that.
Mike, is there anything, you know, that, you know, in any kind of last words or thoughts, advice around AI and, you know,
I think I would caution customers to not get too distracted and feel like they're falling behind. Cause I think that's what there's a, you know, fear of missing out kind of mentality that's going on. And it's like,
yeah, great point.
We are in the infancy of AI as it relates to clinical support. As I said, there's been some that have been around a while, and it took them many, many years to get to a point where people are comfortable with it. So don't panic, but let's stay focused on the things that are challenging and get some low-hanging fruit. You know, if you can figure out a way to, you know, bring those nurses back in some way, that's going to help you with your staffing. That's going to help lighten the load on the floor staff. And it's also going to help you educate the newer nurses. So let's really focus on the challenges that you're facing today, because they were the same challenges before AI started being the word of the day. And let's focus on really those challenges and then apply technology to it. You know, there's funny, again, at the CNO conference, remember when blockchain was the biggest buzzword on the planet?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Let's not get distracted. You have a core, you know, mission, these health systems. Mm-hmm. What are the things that are going to help you deliver on that core mission? And then, you know, AI will mature and it'll work its way in, but don't feel like you're missing out yet. Just be really methodical about it.
I think that's great advice. That's perfect. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time. And I think that, you know, we should follow this up with a little bit of a more deeper dive. I would really like to do that. And you know, we'll wrap this up for today. So, I hope that all of our listeners have enjoyed this conversation as much as Mike and I did. Stay tuned for more episodes in this podcast series. By all means, check out our other podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. We are New Jersey Hymns. That's NJHIMSS on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Podbean, TuneIn, plus Alexa. I mean, we're covering most of them. And if you've got a podcast platform you'd like us to publish to, let me know. And please subscribe to our channel on all those platforms and always hit the like button, subscribe. And you can also find our podcast on our website, njhims.org. That's njhims.org. Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Appreciate it.
Take care.